Okay, welcome to the Thursday, July 24th edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. And my guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo. And as I said yesterday, we're going to bring Pastor Alamo on. He comes on every month with me, and what a message he has. And today I wanted to start out with Pastor Alamo talking about what we broadcast the last couple days, the 1984 speeches that Father Alberto Rivera, the late Father Alberto Rivera, gave at Tony Alamo Ministries. Now, what I find fascinating about this is they were given in 1984. And if you listen to every word that Alberto Rivera has said, it is like he's speaking to us today. And he did mention something. He said the traditions of the Catholic Church, of the Vatican, are to be feared. Not feared in a sense that they should be feared as we would fear man, but in a sense to look at them and to say these are really the perversions of Christ, is what he put it, how he said it. And secondly, he said that he will speak in his body and he will speak from his ashes. And I'll tell you what, that came true. And what I find fascinating about these interviews is that they came at a time almost 24 years ago when no one was talking about these things in America. And Pastor Alamo had the foresight and the courage to bring this man forward. He today is looked at by people that are looking at the Vatican as the Antichrist, as a man that stood for truth. And boy, Pastor Alamo, what was it like to talk with him? Are you there? Are you there? Well, we're trying to get Pastor Alamo with us, and let me know when he's on the line. I thought he was there.
I'm on the
but
line.
But anyway, are you there, Pastor Alamo?
Right.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the introduction, but I had played the last day or two when you had the late Father Alberto Rivera at your ministry speaking in the 80s, and I said it was fascinating to think back that 25 years ago you had the courage to bring this man forward when no one in America was thinking in terms of the New World Order, the Vatican, and it was just amazing to me because it was like he was speaking to us today. What was it like? What kind of man was he? Because you met him personally, and he spoke at your ministry for 8 days. What was he like?
Well, he called upon me. Jack Chick and Alberto called. They wanted to have a meeting with me, and they figured they wanted to know if I was in the Vatican and or I ever had been a Catholic. I told him no. He says, well, how in the world do you know the things that you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said, from the Lord. You know, a lot of people just don't believe that God talks, but the whole Bible is testimony of what he said. But Alberto was just loaded full of things that I don't think anybody else knows except people in the Vatican. And I used to just sit there and listen to all this stuff that he had to say, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just mountains of things.
Yeah, and what I find interesting is that I found several of his testimonies that he made in 1984, and it's just incredible because he made a statement. He said, the Vatican for 27 years, he studied the perversions in Christ and traditions of the Church, of the Catholic Church. And when he finally found Christ, he understood what he was doing and how they control people. And it was just amazing because he said they have tried, and in 1984 they were trying to keep him quiet. And he said he will speak not only from, no matter what they do to him, he made a statement. He said, I'll speak from my ashes. And he is. I mean, it's amazing because if you listen to his speech today that he made 26 years ago, it's like he's talking to us today.
Yeah.
You know?
He knew what the Vatican was all about.
Right, and I find it interesting that you brought him out at a time when no one in America ever thought this would happen. And look 28 years later where we're at. And I think that's a testament to your ministry. And I looked at those, you know, I was listening to the people listening to him, and I can't imagine over the years how many millions of people you have taken this message to under the radar screen, because if you listen to the mainstream media, you haven't said a word. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, I mean, if you listen to mainstream media, you would think that you don't even exist. They don't want to touch what you talk about.
Right,
but
yeah,
behind
yeah.
the scenes, 100%. You've turned down millions to this truth.
Oh, that's right. And I've never printed anything that Alberto said. I asked Jack Chick if he, you know, because a lot of the people that were anti-Alberto would say that he was not really this or that. And I said, well, and I asked Jack Chick if he saw any credentials and so on. He said, no, I just prayed to the Lord.
Right.
And got that, but there's too many things that Alberto said that were definitely, he definitely knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, and you know, I checked, as soon as we started printing some articles about him, that same thing came up, and I found out through a Archbishop of Guatemala that the Vatican had a campaign, a smear campaign, to, first of all, they destroyed all his records, and then they started out a campaign to say he wasn't a Catholic priest to counter his statements. And so I'm convinced through people I talk to that he is who he says he is.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get to your ministry and what you've been doing. You know, you've been spreading this message for years, and I find it interesting that today you're stronger than ever. I mean, your ministry has grown by leaps and bounds. And tell us where your ministry sits today, as far as the number of people, where the people are coming from, because people probably don't know, because we always talk about the message you give. But tell us a little bit about your ministry and the people that are coming to you.
Well, what we're doing actually is bringing the gospel to them.
Mm-hmm.
Most people today are so turned off by what's going on in churches that they don't go to church, and a lot of them don't want to watch Christian TV, but because you can tell, you know, the average person is not stupid. They can tell. Before I was a Christian, I didn't believe in any of my, they turned me off, and so what I've done is the Lord called me into the ministry, as I've told you before. I didn't want to be in the ministry. That was my biggest nightmare, was to become a Christian or to even talk about Jesus. But the Lord called me very supernaturally. He actually spoke to me in this office in Beverly Hills. And so I just know, because of the way I am and the way all the guys that I used to run with out of the world, that nobody wants to watch Christian TV, not any of the rancid sinners like, you know, the people are today and like I was. And so what I want to do is, God has given me an insight into the Bible. I just finished a whole series on the book of Revelation. I finished it from A to Z, and I've got on there, and people can tell that what I'm preaching and teaching is the truth. And so we're printing it up and taking it. We have distributors all over the world, people that have received the gospel from one of my pieces of literature, and I've had hundreds of them, or one of my hundreds of radio broadcasts, and they got turned on from the actual gospel. Not me, because I'm not promoting myself. I'm promoting the Bible, the salvation to people, to where they can see that this is the real stuff, the real deal. And we're going to them and say, look, I know you're not going to church, you're not watching Christian TV, but you're going to hear the gospel whether you like it or not, because I'm going to come at you so many different ways. You're going to hear the word. And so we take these pieces of literature that I've written, and we give it to them, and yeah, there'll be one, and then five, and then a whole town will get saved over in Africa or India or someplace, and here and there. And it's mounted up to hundreds of thousands of people. I have no idea how many, maybe millions. I believe it's in the millions, because we get so much mail, and so many great responses. The letters that we get are unbelievable. I was involved with Elvis and the Beatles, and I saw their fan mail, and other people like Ravon, the singer Ravon, and Bobby Jameson, and all kinds of people like that. And I've never seen such fantastic mail as what we get. I mean, it's just amazing. And so people are really getting saved, and they're distributing the literature, and then by their distributing the literature, other people get turned on because they can tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people know when they hear the truth and when they're hearing a bunch of sugar-coated gospel, or that's not any gospel at all. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add anything unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." So, and if any man shall take away, in other words, they'd say, "Oh, there's no plagues, nothing like that's going to say." If anyone takes away from these words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his name and his part out of the book of life. And so people are condemning themselves, they call themselves Christians, because they say once saved, always saved. Well, right here it says that he'll take his name out of the Lamb's book of life. He'll take their name and their part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, which is the New Jerusalem in the kingdom of heaven, and from which are written in this book. The plagues are going to come down on these people that are changing the Word of God. They're taking the condemnation of sinners out of the Bible so that they can get big crowds. You notice all these different evangelists that have huge crowds. They will not preach the condemnation of the Lord. They'll say, "Well, are homosexuals," somebody will ask them, "are homosexuals going to heaven?" They say, "Well, we don't know." The Bible plainly says that they're going to hell and the lake of fire. It says it tells it right in this last chapter of the book of Revelation. It says, "All effeminate, all liars." Well, my God, well, who's going to make it? Then they say, "Nobody's perfect." But the Bible says that we have to be perfect. There's not going to be any impediments to enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, this is God says that we are his bride. He's not going to marry a hag or some filthy fornicator. Everyone has to be honored and be given glory for the work that we did here on earth. Well, is he going to give honor and glory to homosexuals and lesbians and murderers, these people that are murdering all these babies? Absolutely not there. It says all murderers are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. He states that I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the A to Z. And he's the first and the last, and he's telling everyone that anyone that believes these things, their names are going to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And so all these big-time evangelists that people would think, oh, they're going to be in heaven. And so heaven is going to be the biggest upset of all time. People that you'll think are going to be there will not be there. People that you would think are not going to be there, they'll be there. Because, you know, we're not very well respected, those of us that preach the gospel and teach it as it really is, because they don't want to know anything about us because we make them look bad. And what they're trying to do is make us look bad by saying we don't have any mercy. Well, the Lord tells us if we preach the true word that that is mercy. Because people are being deceived. They're being led into a trap by these false prophets. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned all of us in one chapter alone, and many other chapters, but five times in chapter 24 of Matthew, he warns us about, watch out, take heed what you hear. Watch out for false prophets, false teachers and preachers, because they just say, well, no one's perfect. Well, if we're walking in the Holy Spirit, if we're walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can't get any more perfect than that.
And right. And, you know, the one question that always pops up, and this comes, and so many people have said this to me. They said, Greg, well, if you take this stance that there is this true Word of God, how are you so sure? And that question is difficult for people to answer, because, and then the same person, I remember the last person that said that, how can you be so sure that there is a real Word of God?
Well,
and then I said, and then they say, you know, I go to church on Sunday, but I go to be, and I said, why do you go? And they said, well, I like the music, you know.
And, no, that's it. No, you can tell, because the Bible tells of flying saucers in the last days surveying the earth just before Jesus comes back to earth. Tells about the smog, tells about Israel being returned to its homeland. First of all, it says it's going to be scattered, but just before Christ comes back to earth, the Jews will be returned to their homeland. That happened in 1947 and 48. And that is the end of the Gentile dispensation. Now God is calling 144,000 Jews to preach the gospel, but he's also calling millions of Gentiles. The Gentiles that wake up and find out that their dispensation is over, but the Lord is still saving them. There'll be more of the Gentile, but the Gentile has to become a spiritual Jew before he can enter into the kingdom of heaven. He has to receive Christ. But now we're talking about Israel would be surrounded by nations. They'd be having all these troubles. And we Jews would be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles just before Jesus comes back, that the beast is the one world government and is the head of the one world government, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, is the cult, the Roman Catholic cult, that is the one that sits on the government. She rides on the government and tells the government what to do. And that now it also states that the gospel would be preached to all over the world. It says that the doctrine of Satan would be taught, that the doctrine of murdering children. If this isn't the devil, then what would Satan do more than what he's doing now? And that people would be saying it's all right for homosexuals to marry and for lesbians to marry. And everything, they're making that in the last days, that which is evil, good, and that which is good, evil. They're on the attack of Christian churches. The Bible says that we would be persecuted, that we would be thrown in prison for the gospel, just as he was. He said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you if you're preaching the same gospel, my gospel. And anyone that preaches any other gospel other than that which the apostles of Jesus and the apostles preached, they are accursed. We know that these are the end times, because when we pray for people and they're sick, they get healed. This is the power of God. This is not wishful thinking. And then he said he's going to start pouring out plagues on the earth. Well, that's already happening, and people now, they're getting so used to the plagues that are coming down. I heard one woman on TV the other day saying, I think it's fun. I'm sticking around. You know, they're crazy as a bunch of March hares. They're saying, you know, I think of being in these twisters and these hurricanes and all that, that's fun. But then all of a sudden they're up to their neck, you know, in water. But they're getting so used to it that their hearts are being hardened. So God is going to intensify the plagues that he's pouring out on the earth. And so they will not think that they're fun. because they're going to be hail the size of they'll be they weigh 100 pounds. They'll be incredible earthquakes will flatten cities and large cities like Los Angeles, New York. Buildings will fall. There'll be a meteorite that's coming out of the kingdom of heaven from that God is going to send down. That's going to kill 1/3 of the people in the earth. Other plague is 1/4 of the people of earth, and another plague that will kill everybody in the sea. They're not going to think it's funny. I wonder if people think that I would give up the career that I had. I own a Beatles album that Pete Best of the Beatles gave me for doing his promotion, and I will not sell it because the Lord told me not to do it. I get my money strictly by keeping the commandments of the Lord, and the Lord gives me whatever I need.
And people that are listening don't know, you were a very successful music promoter in Hollywood.
Yeah, music and motion pictures and all kinds of stuff. I did promotions for all kinds of household things. The entire Democratic Party wanted me to do their promotion for them. It was like...
Didn't you come up with that idea way back when for the Greatest Hits albums?
Yeah, I was the first one to come out with the 20 original hits on one album. That you can't buy it in the store, you got to call up on the phone. And then later, K-Tel Records out of Canada got the guts to copy my method of selling records. Nobody sold records that way before. And then after them, Warner Brothers now is doing it, and they're selling 100-some-odd records because they own the masters on them. They don't have to pay royalties, with the exception of, I guess they have to, they make a deal with the publisher to where they only have to pay half publishing on the records, or even less than that, because they're promoting the thing so much. And the record industry is dead now, because no one can make any money in the record industry, because the kids are pulling down these recordings off the internet, and they're getting them for free. So Capitol Records and all these different record companies, RCA, they bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
They do custom sessions. In other words, you can go into Capitol and all the other recording companies and make a record and everything, but how are you going to sell it? The only way they can sell it is to maybe give away pictures of themselves, autographed pictures, or send them a T-shirt or something like that. But they can't... No one can sell records anymore. The whole record industry is destroyed. And so what they do is just play excerpts of these different recordings, and so that people can, they can't pull it down from the computers. There's just little sections of each song, and then they're also selling DVDs of them singing. That way, I guess they're making a lot of money that way. But you cannot just get on the air now and start selling records, because the kids are they're hip to pulling the thing down off the internet, and they put them on CDs or on their iPods.
Right. We're going to go into a break, Pastor, and it's let's get back after 3 minutes here. But I want to talk about that transition you made from a millionaire record producer to a pastor spreading the gospel. Back in 3 minutes with Pastor Tony Alamo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. In 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means, for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Okay, we're back for the second half hour. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. You're listening to the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'll tell you, it's so secret we can't talk about it, but we're revealing the secrets here today. And when he says he's leading, and you know who that is, President Bush, he knows exactly where he's leading. He's leading you right to the gates of hell. And I'll tell you this, when you listen to Kennedy's voice, you listen to what happened to that man after he tried to alert the American people. Then you listen to Bush, you see just how far gone we have become. Now, the real key is you get a guy like Pastor Alamo, who's been around for 40 years preaching the truth on the pulpit, not afraid to talk about who the Antichrist is, which was really what the Protestant Reformation was all about, and then you're going to have a reason to listen to a pastor. But what, you know, Pastor, what's got me so upset is that there's so many people out there listening, TV shows, all these ecumenical ministries that have cropped up, millions of people following the wrong message. And as we were stating yesterday on the show, we have people who say they're Christian and they're not. And people, you might as well, if you go to a Protestant church, just call yourself a Catholic. What's your thoughts about that? I mean,
oh, absolutely. The Catholic cult is the head of all the governments in the world. They run all the governments. It's a big political organization, and they also run the One World Church. And the different, the reason people have been so deceived is because they don't read the Bible, and they don't believe. They say we go there, like you said, to hear the music, because there's no real message of God being preached there. Because if they were preaching the true word of God, and it's all the same, they're the United Baptists, the United Presbyterians, the United, who are they united with? They're united with the Vatican, the Catholics, because they don't want to receive persecution from them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is full of that. We are going to be persecuted by these devils. It's talking about that there's going to be these seven last plagues. This is the thing that David Koresh was trying to explain. He didn't really know how to do it because it's so easy to do. And it says that these are the last plagues, and people must get the victory over the beast, the one world government, and over his image and over his mark. He's going to put a mark. Now, it's getting into that real fast. And this is another reason you can tell that the Bible is true, is because they're saying that people are going to steal your identity. And so because of credit cards, we're going to have to do away with credit cards. We've come up with a brilliant idea. Let's put a mark on your forehead or on your hand, which is called the mark of the beast. If anyone takes that mark, they're not going to believe it, but they're damned forever. This is the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And people that blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no way that that sin of blasphemy can be given this world or in the world to come. And so the Lord talks about, it says that one of these angels said, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass, it looked like glass, mingled with fire, and they that had gotten the victory over the beast. That's the one world government, the one that these big, fat prostitute or whore, which God said is the Vatican. And this whore is given its power by the dragon, the great red dragon called the devil or Satan. And we have to get complete victory over his image. Now, an image is like a picture or a electrical device like a television or something like that, where this image of the beast is pumping these ideas of there's no such thing as perfection, there's nothing that's true in the Bible, we found Jesus' bones, he didn't really raise from the dead. This is all the image of the beast that is people are receiving into their heads. And the people that are going to be in heaven are the ones that got victory over the beast and over his image that he is implanting in people's heads, and over his mark, where they put the mark in your hand so that no one will steal your identity any longer, and in your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a microchip or something. And over the number of his name, the Bible states, is 666, which is these things started in the year 1966. It really started going crazy then, and the Lord called me into the ministry just 2 years before that. And these people that got the victory over this image that's being pumped into people's brains every day. But now, you know, you're seeing on television, oh, here's another tornado, here's an, oh, and they're saying it's Mother Nature. There's no such animal, no such person as that. It's coming from God, and God tells us that he's going to do that. So, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord God Almighty, just and true, and they're true. Everything else in this world is a lie, but the things that the Lord says are true. And people that say, well, you know, I don't believe that there's a heaven or hell or any of these things, those are the ones who have already received the image of the beast in their foreheads. They got it in their brains. It's pumped in there into their spirits, their souls, their minds. And the Bible says, you know, the thing, what happened to me when I first heard the voice of the Lord in that office in Beverly Hills, such fear came into me that I dropped immediately the Beatles album, I dropped Bobby Jameson, I bumped nobody. I wouldn't go to work for anybody any longer. The Bible says in verse 4 in Revelation, and I think it's chapter 15, it says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For I glorified his name by dumping everything, and I didn't count it as a loss at all. That's not loss. I mean, it's like dung to me, the things that I was doing before. The Beatles album is dung. There's all kinds of people that are offering me millions of dollars for that. I will not do that. I'm not going to sell an item that is teaching a false version of love. To the Beatles, love is sex and, you know, kissing and hugging and all this stuff, but love, the Bible says, is the keeping of God's commandments. That is the true meaning of love. And say, so he says, who shall not fear you? Only the most ridiculously stupid people in the world. O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgment are made manifest. He's starting to judge the world. He's starting to say, okay, I'm going to pour out plagues on your city unless you repent. And if you don't repent, the plagues are going to get worse and worse. And I've been telling people, and it's getting worse and worse. People say, this has never happened in our town before. This has never happened in our state before. These are unparalleled, all these things. This is what I was talking about, the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, the seven last plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. This is symbolic of the pureness of soul, the pureness of spirit, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. One of the four, now it's talking about all these plagues that are going to be coming down on earth, and it tells of the plagues of the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says that the Vatican sits in the city of the seven hills or mountains. And there it is. There's nothing more wicked. Even there's been thousands, and you know this as well as I do, the thousands of different priests and nuns that have left that cult because they realized that it's political and it's not really of the Lord at all,
mm-hmm.
of the devil. So these are the seven last plagues. In other words, after these seven last plagues, there's not going to be any more. That's right, because this is the end of time. And you're going to see that these plagues that are hitting all over the... Now there's one over there in Brownsville, over there in Texas, and that little island outside just off the shore. I'm watching those plagues that are happening all over the world now as never before. And it says in chapter 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple in heaven saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Well, nobody wants to preach the wrath of God. If you preach the wrath of God in any of these churches, or you see them, they got 20,000 people sitting there. My website we get hit with every week around 70-some thousand to 300,000-400,000 hits because they're reading me, and all the universities in the world are reading my website because they say that my teaching is higher than the universities, and they have my literature in their libraries. Okay, now.
Well, I'm looking at your, many people may not realize, but you're on a lot of different radio stations daily. And for example, I'm looking at program 767, program 766, and 765, July 22nd and 23rd. And, you do two or three programs a day. And what I'm gonna do in the second hour is play, one of your messages, one of your programs, and, let people listen to you, without me interrupting. And I just wondered if you'd rather 767 or 765, which one would you think would be better to listen to?
Well, I just finished 772.
Okay.
And, man, that's the last couple of chapters in Revelation. That would be fantastic if you play that.
I don't have it on your website here. I got 767 is the last one.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Oh, wait, here, we got 750 to 779. Let me see if I can get that. No, it's not up yet. You're the people putting them up haven't, so I have 767 is the last one.
Okay, well, that probably, all of them will be good.
And how long are they? About an hour?
Hour.
Okay, I'm going to play that in the second hour for people because we've never done that on the show. and I think it'd be interesting to listen to you just uninterrupted. And tell, you know, the number of stations that you are on is interesting. It's a lot. I mean, you're all over the place in L.A. and in Chicago and different areas. People don't really know that, I think.
Yeah, we're in Los Angeles on four different stations. And we're in Africa and India and all over the world, actually. We're getting responses from all over the world. So,
right.
Yeah, people should be concerned. You know, the thing, even when I first got saved, I did not want to tell people that I was an evangelist because, to me, I know what the stigma is of these phonies. I mean, it's... And when people would ask me, well, what do you do? And I'd say, well, you know, I'm a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
I promote, you know. And, well, I'm saved, you know. And really, I just promoted my wife to Susie to preach the gospel because she could say more in just a few words than I could say if I talked all week. She was exceedingly good at preacher. I've never met anybody that knew the Lord better than her. When she'd pray, I mean, you just feel a room fill up with the power of the living God. And so after she went, the Lord pushed me into doing this. And you know, you notice in all the different people in the Bible, they didn't really want to be evangelists. These are the ones that want to be evangelists, teachers, preachers, and prophets and all this. They never make it. They always wind up, you know, wanting a crowd. I don't care 2 cents about having a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all, because I just want to have the true Word of God, and people, if they believe it, that's great. But I get the same reward for preaching to people, whether they believe what I say or not. So I'm not interested in that, and God always makes sure enough finances comes in to keep the radio program on and to feed all the hundreds of people in our church, churches in this United States here. And we have hundreds of different distributors of the literature throughout the United States and all over the world. And so we're doing well, and we also are able to help other people that are hungry and needy and people that... we really know our talent. A lot of people try to scam us, you know, and I've been around the block so many times. It's very hard for people to scam me.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen, I mean, you've been through the ringer, so to speak. They're constantly, I mean, for 20 to 30 years, you have fought these people off with lawsuits and different, I mean, amazing. Even spending 4 years in prison on a false charge, we've discussed that on the show. And we even had the FBI agent who told us that he was told to bring you down no matter what, and he couldn't find anything.
Right. Well, it's actually been 44 years since I've been plowing here in the earth with the gospel, and I wouldn't trade no matter what I've been through. I mean, it's nothing in comparison to what the Lord went through and the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles. And Peter and some of the people, the Christians in China, they're murdering them there and in all different parts of the world. And this satanic group of people, the Muslims, and they're really bad, you know. And I would really think it's funny if they tried to get me to apologize about saying something about the devils on this earth that say that they're worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
God never instructs his people to murder people. God, as a matter of fact, his condemnation, people that murder will not be in heaven. And he will not allow that. People think they're getting by with it, but there's a final judgment. And we're going to see the first of these different vials that these angels are pouring out on earth. This one is coming after, you know, they're all starting to have fun with these different plagues that are on us. So there's going to be grievous, a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast that have taken this mark. Because when they're taking the mark of the Vatican, what they're doing is they're taking a stand against God. They're saying, we believe Satan more than God. we believe that, you know, how do you know it's the truth? Because I'm, one of the other reasons I know it's the truth is because I saw Christ with my eyes wide open. I was very much awake and alert, and he warned me that I wasn't reading the Bible enough. And he says, you know, I've called you for a big work, the whole world, and you're not reading the Bible. You're out there building, helping build houses and helping people get into their houses and things like that. Instruct your troops to do that, but you get into the Word of God because you're going to have to preach it. And there's so few people that know the Word of God on earth, and it's for sure these evangelists. It's like this Hagee is apologizing to the Antichrist. You know, this man is, that's why I'm ashamed at first to say that I was a Christian. But people know my literature now. They know that I am of the Lord. So this grievous sore is going to be coming down on people which take the mark of the beast. And they've already, by the image of the beast coming through television and the media, the Bible says that Satan is given a mouth, that this beast is given the mouth, the government is given the mouth, and that is the media at large. They're projecting the image of the beast into people's heads, and people ought to turn that damnable thing off. You know, there's good radio programs like yours and mine, and other people, but, you know, these television programs are projecting they're worshiping the image of the beast. Now, the image is just images of pornography, a murder. You can see people are murdering people, and women are drowning their children and all this stuff. This is an image, and it's causing people to be calloused. And they are starting to get the kids going into school and shooting their pals, their fellow students. And it's just endless. It's like a sewer of corruption. And so people are not to take this image of the beast into there, because if they do, they're worshiping the image. And
you know, one thing I'm sure of, Pastor, is that when you start exposing the Antichrist, you start exposing the real problems that the world faces, the one thing they do not want to hear is the real Word of God. That's the one thing that they try to cover up. And that's why they've gone to great lengths to change the Bibles, why they've gone to great lengths to kill millions and millions before us who tried to spread the Word of God. And that's really the key. The more people that can get up and start speaking like you, the better chance we have to really see what God is trying to give us.
Yeah,
and that's
well, so
what
so
I
many
believe
people don't know.
After doing this for years. I mean, you can spend your whole life talking about all the problem, finances, the New World Order, but when it gets right down to it, it gets down to that Word of God in opposition to someone like something like the Vatican, who's hiding behind the Word and using that Word of God in a deceptive way. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's right. You know, like it's so few people know of what the Word is saying. They think that the image of the beast is going to be a statue that's going to be talking or something. No. Image means like a picture, a photograph, or a television, or something that projects images into people's brains.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the image of the beast, is what's being formulated and molded and made, making your mind. It's like a brainwashing tactic that people don't understand the Bible. And all these people, I've read so many commentaries on the book of Revelation, and nobody knows what it's saying. And that's why I was so happy. I told everybody, I said, now I can die. I finished the book of Revelation.
and you know what I'm going to do? I just sent over to the radio station your program 767. That's the most recent one that I have here from your website. So we're going to play that unabated straight through in the second hour.
Terrific.
So that people can listen to your word, what you're trying to say in the Word of God through your voice. And hopefully that show's fine with you.
Oh, that's yeah. Any one of the programs that you would like to play, be my guest, and anyone can be my guest. Just take them off of there and play them to the whole world.
And I want to mention, though, to the listeners that you have ministries all over the country, one in L.A., one in Arkansas, and other places. And
two in Arkansas.
Two there. Yeah. And many, many, you've been doing this for a long time. And what's your feeling about the people coming to listen now? I mean, is there a change of heart? Are you getting more people now because of the way the world is moving so quickly in this one world order direction?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people are really receiving the Word of God. It's so gratifying because back in the 60s, you know, in 64, nobody believed anything, and the Lord has really given me a wonderful understanding of the Bible, and it's for sure what I, the understanding that He's given me is true. I don't mince it down at all, and it doesn't make any difference. I could care less whether I go before a firing squad or electric chair or anything. It doesn't bother me because I've got the truth out. The cat is out of the bag.
Well put. And it, I'll tell you what, and we're going to keep trying to get, we'll get you on at least once a month and spread this word around. And I'll tell you, I'll do everything I can to help you in that regard, as well as tell people, you know, listen, this is something that's serious, and you need to make a decision. You can't just put it off, right?
This is the most important decision people ever make in their life. They better get serious. They better get real serious because it's for their everlasting eternal soul.
Okay. We're running out of time, Pastor. I'm going to play that for the next hour, and I want to thank you for coming on.
Lord bless you.
Okay. That was Pastor Tony Alamo. In the second hour, we're going to play program 767 by Pastor Alamo. He recorded that July 23rd, 2008, and we're going to play that. This station has the tape, and we're going to play that in the second hour, and you'll see me again tomorrow live. Until then, good morning.